I believe in technology.
Sure, I don't.
No, you don't.
I believe it works and exists.
I don't believe in it. Season's greetings and welcome to this week's episode of The Christmas Cracker, a Christmas film podcast where we discuss the absolute best and worst Christmas movies that the world has to offer. And who knows, ladies and gentlemen, one day we may find the world's truest Christmas cracker. Hello, my name's Kate and I'm here with my co-host.
Sam, hello.
Hello, it's been a while.
Yeah, what happened to my birthday podcast?
Yeah, sorry.
Where we discuss the best movie ever.
It's sitting on a file on my laptop. I'm gonna magically release it one day as a little surprise.
It's a surprise. And I'm going my birthday though. It's so awkward now.
I'm going to tell no one. I'll put in a little. I'll record a little snippet. It's fine.
Disclaimer.
Whenever that episode goes up, it'll be wildly out of date. Maybe I'll hold on to it for next year's birthday.
For my next year's birthday. Yeah. I can be 25 again.
And then even if we're not still doing this podcast, I'll still upload it to a dead RSS feed and just be grand.
Sounds good.
So this is going to come out probably today or tomorrow. So yeah, this is the second week of September. And you know what? I don't really mind that we skipped the first week because it's a 5 week month. Yeah, because this is the second week of September. It's a five week month. So I don't mind that we skip the first one because that's still four movies.
And honestly, I've lost track of the days and the weeks and the months. Oh, it's the second week of September. Wild.
It's going to be October in like a blink of an eye. We're not even going to.
It's going to be January before we know it.
Here's hoping.
Let's be real.
That's what I'm living for. So, new theme alert for all people that care. September, by popular demand, is action movie month. We were going to start with Die Hard, but couldn't find it. So
I didn't look, I'm not gonna lie. I left that to Kate.
Yeah, no, I looked at the poster that Craig sent us a while back, and I think like the first one on it was this movie, and it was made in 1996, so I knew Ed would be able to find it for me because it's like 25 years old now, so I was like, it's definitely around somewhere easily accessible. So this movie is called The Long Kiss Goodnight.
And it's not a Christmas movie.
There's loads of Christmas in this movie. There is more Christmas in this movie than in some of the other Christmas movies we've watched, such as The Scarecrow. There are multiple references to Christmas. True. There's Christmas trees, Christmas lights, Christmas carolers, snow. There's loads of Christmas in this movie.
Yeah. I don't have a leg to stand on. Yeah, Scarecrow is not Christmassy. But you know what? That podcast didn't come out, so...
So you'll never know.
Who knows? Who knows? Also, I just knocked my microphone, so if there's weird audio there, my bad, sorry.
Oh, ba-bong. So, The Long Kiss Goodnight is a 1996 American spy action thriller film, co-produced and directed by Rennie Harlan and produced by Shane Black and Stephanie Austin, with screenplay written by Black. The film starring Gina Davis, Samuel Jackson, Tom Mendez, Yvonne Zima, Brian Cox, Patrick Malahide, Craig Bierko, and David Morse, because I assume all those people got paid enough that Wikipedia had to put them in there, follows an amnesiastic school teacher, i.e. she has amnesia, who sets out on a journey to find out who she is with the help of a private detective until they discover a dark conspiracy. Released by New Line Cinema on October 11th, 1996, The Long Kiss Goodnight grossed almost $95 million against a budget of $65 million and gained a strong cult following. I'm glad to know it's like a culty movie because I feel like...
That feels accurate for it.
Yeah, it feels right. New Line Cinema paid a record $4 million for Shane Black's script. I cannot believe they paid $4 million for the script for this movie.
Script is because awful.
It makes no sense. In an early cut of the film, Mitch Hennessy dies, but during a test screening, an audience member shouted, "You can't kill Sam Jackson!" Harlan accordingly changed the final cut so that Jackson character survives. On February 27, 1996, during filming at the 127-year-old Windermere House in Ontario, Canada, a fire broke out, leaving only the stone veranda intact. There was speculation that the fire was caused by high-intensity lighting. However, it may have been a short circuit. Filming at the time of the fire was being carried out on the ice-covered lake whilst the house was lit from the inside so as to be seen in the background of the shots. It is unknown whether the fire was directly associated with filming, but the building was otherwise closed for winter. Ironically, some of the scenes they were meant to shoot on that location involved fire, but the fire prevented the remaining scenes from being shot there. Film crews helped to evacuate.
Should have got straight in there, swap scenes, be like, right lads, do the fire ones now.
Although the fire did not spread beyond the one building. That's nice.
I do.
It's a critical response. The Long Kiss Goodnight received mainly positive reviews. It holds a 70% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes based on 56 reviews. The site's consensus states, smart, sharp-witted, and fueled by enjoyable over-the-top action, The Long Kiss Goodnight makes up in impact what it lacks in consistent aim. Audiences polled by CinemaScore gave the film a median grade of an A-. Christine James from Box Office gave the film 3.5 out of 5 stars, calling it a lot of fun, but believing that there were some weaknesses in the script. Roger Ebert gave the film 2.5 out of 4 stars, stating, I admired it as an example of craftsmanship, but what a lot of time and money to spend on something of no real substance. Time Out pulled several film critics, directors, actors and stunt doctors to list their top action films. The Long Kiss Goodnight was listed at 82nd place on the list. Samuel L. Jackson has stated that The Long Kiss Goodnight is his favourite movie to watch, which he has been in. And he's been in a lot of Marvel movies. Of all the films he's made, Rennie Harlan says The Long Kiss Goodnight is his favourite. It is definitely for me, it's just very simple. It's a movie that had a really good screenplay, which meant that I was able to get really good actors, and it's always challenging to make a movie, but it sure makes it easier when you have a good screenplay like that one.
Really, when you have good characters, screenplay is a bit of a stretch now.
When you have characters that are complex and you have good drama, and have some humor and some good action. Did he write this when he was 4? You kind of have all the ingredients.
When you have drama, that, and when you have action, and when you have actors, and when you have script, and when
you can make a movie.
You too can be like me.
When you have that, you don't even need some crazy special effects. I disagree. You just need to let the characters do their thing. It was a great experience.
Wow. And that was my last day of school.
And then I went to a big school with all the big boys and girls. Originally, the last page of Black's original 1994 script stated that there would be a sequel called The Kiss After Lightning, which never happened. A possible sequel has been in the works since 2007, but nothing definite has been reported as of 2021. What a pity. What a pity. So IMDb has it at 6.8 out of 10. And Rotten Tomatoes has it as 70, both on the tomato meter and the audience score, which is interesting. I forgot to get their reviews up beforehand. My bad. Let's see now. So underrated, yet so great. I disagree. No, these are all the good ones. There has to be bad ones.
Oh, of course there is. And if there's not, there's about to be.
Kissed Off. Wow. Charmless, dim, and entirely unlovable action trash with an unsympathetic protagonist, a style-free script, and a pair of non-actor leads. But what about its bad points? Ooh. Mainly, it lacks the sense of the ridiculous that makes many equally silly actioneers, e.g. The Terminators, Die Hards, Lethal Weapons, etc., far more enjoyable. Any humour it possesses comes in the form of crude wisecracks and comedy violence, while it plays its puerile scenario and storyline with dog-face seriousness. On the side of positive unpleasantness, much of the action appeals to sheer sadism. One sequence combines torture with a wet lingerie show, and there's something not far from fascism in the way it assumes our unquestioning willingness to root for a government assassin. None of this is helped by Geena Davis's perky, smug punchability or Samuel L. Jackson's standard recreation of a groovy black perp supporting role from an old episode of Kojak. But better performances by more likable players would have been a waste of talent and craft. That long kiss goodnight died at the cinemas like a louse in a hobo's beard is the only remotely enjoyable thing about it. It suggests that it's still possible to lose money by insulting the public's intelligence. That was a 1-star.
It sounded like it, yeah.
This is a 5-star. Not a bad movie, just nothing new and special. In her final attempt to make a blockbuster lead, Geena Davies stars as an ordinary housewife with a kid suffering from amnesia who finds out she was once a top secret, blah, 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 blah.
That does sound like the kid is the one suffering from amnesia from the way they wrote it, which would have been a much better movie if the kid
had amnesia. That would have been good. It has a fine amount of shootings, blood, dead bodies, one-liners, big explosions, cool bad guys, etc. Just nothing substantial and nothing new, and as a result, nothing that could really attract the viewer. A good craftsmanship, but nothing that stays longer in your memory. A perfect example why Harlan and Davies never actually reached stardom or anything close. The whole way through this movie... they were very annoying. The whole way through this movie, I was like, I know this woman. I've seen...
Grey's Anatomy?
No.
Oh.
Stuart Little.
Oh! different characters.
Yeah. I was like, where have I seen this woman before? Why isn't she like, oh my god. And then I looked her up on IMDb. She's the mum in Stuart Little.
That's so funny. I haven't seen Stuart Little since I was probably Samantha Little. Since I was about 3 years old. Which sounds so funny. My second note on my page is, oh my god, she was in Grey's Anatomy.
When?
She was Nicole, so the doctor that Arizona studied under when she was looking to become like top fetal surgeon, and then Nicola went blind.
What season are you talking about?
I don't know. I watched them all in 3 months. They all blend.
If she's not in the first 6 episodes, I don't know.
You said when as if you'd seen more than 6 episodes.
No. Here's a 10 out of 10. You either love it or hate it. I think this might be a nice rounded 10 out of 10. Sure. This is a film that in no way reflects the real world. Do many films reflect the real world?
I hope not.
Nothing in this film makes any real world sense or has any real world logic. It operates entirely in its own little world, and your ability to accept it or not will determine your love or hate for this film. I love this film. Somewhere at the very beginning, I bought into the completely unreal premise of the hit woman regaining her memory as the past comes back to haunt her. There was a moment early on where I remember accepting that this was going to be one of those movies where the heroine was going to know nothing until it was needed, despite all logic that it wouldn't happen that way. Oh, it's one of those films, I said to myself, and was hooked as the film took off on a wild 2-hour chase. This is an action film with brain and brawn as things follow their own internal logic, and you actually have to pay attention to follow some of the twists and turns. I don't think you do. I like this a great deal, and I'm pleasantly surprised when I bump into people who feel the same way too. People either love it or hate it if they've never heard of it at all. If you like action films, this is a film to definitely try. You may not like it, but it's certainly worth the effort to find out. And as always, leave reality at the door. The original Salt. Oh, I don't think Salt's a very good movie either, so I guess
I've not seen Salt.
You wouldn't like it. It's very boring.
Fair.
Great fun, great action, great script, a criminally underrated gem, and an absolute blast.
All incorrect.
Fantastic movie, even when I see it for the 10th time.
Also incorrect.
Well, if you're looking for the action movie, that's the one. Great stunts, great explosions, great killings, and it's all fun.
Again, wildly incorrect. Great stunts. They're the worst stunts I've seen.
It is 2019, and this is still my favourite action movie. Screw Captain Marvel, Black Widow, and Wonder Woman. Charlie is the best. No wonder Sam Jackson says The Long Kiss Goodnight is his favourite movie. Yeah.
There are other action movies besides Marvel, too, just FYI.
I think they're saying that Your One Charlie is on the level of all those people.
Oh, I was like...
Because she's a female lead. You're
very specific on... the other three action movies you have seen.
I think it's because they're all like large female lead action movies.
I see. I have not seen them.
That also have Samuel L. Jackson in them.
Fair.
So I think that's why.
That makes sense.
So yeah, just a last little roundup before Sam goes for it. School teacher and single mother Samantha Kane lives an average suburban life until she begins having strange memories of unexplained violence and discovers that she has physical skills that she never imagined. Hiring private detective Mitch Hennessy to probe into her past, Samantha discovers that she's a well-trained government assassin who went missing after suffering a bout of amnesia and that her former handlers want her back in their employ. It took me half an hour to understand what was going on in this movie.
I'm not sure I understand.
I thought Your One Samantha was also the other woman with the big curly hair that works for Samuel L. Jackson. No, I know that now. But while watching it, when I started watching it, I was like, is this a flashback? This makes no sense. I was confused.
Fair. I got that part, so I'm a bit proud of myself, but no, the rest of it had me lost.
I think I just wasn't paying enough attention.
Anyway,
this might be a quick one, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we're gonna fly through this because my notes are not very. I found because it's an action movie, it's hard to keep more adequate notes because, like, there's 20 minutes of, like, she runs around and kills a bunch of people, and I don't really have much more to say than that. So that sums up like 20 minutes. So,
apart from the fact that most of those shots have really bad cuts,
always. So we may fly through this. First of all, I've written really long, boring intro.
Oh yeah, it is really boring.
It is really boring.
It's
just her writing names for a very long time with some music.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, this is like those Christmas movies that I hate that have the really long...
Mm-hmm.
Startings with the music and shit.
She's writing Samantha for a very long time, which is a bit ominous when your name is also Samantha. You're like, oh, okay, this is a bit much now. It's gonna happen. And yeah, I was like, okay, what's happening? So my next note is parade, because there's a Christmas parade. It's very Christmassy from the start. There is Christmas music. It's that song, well, it's Christmas time, pretty baby, that one. Which is an enjoyable song, so that's a bop. And there's like Christmas trees and decorations, and then there's a parade, which is a terrible parade. It's very low budget. The Santa outfit is awful. But this protagonist is dressed as Mrs. Claus, and this is where my oh my god, she was in Grey's Anatomy note comes in. I didn't realize she was going to be the lead of the story at this point, so I was like, oh, it's just your one. And then she starts having a voiceover, you know, that typical, like, here's my life story. So I've written down, this gal has amnesia, but she's all G. And she woke up pregnant. That was my note for that. That's basically what she tells us.
Yeah, that's basically it.
And she's not sure what happened. That was 8 years ago. And during this Christmas party where she's, like, having a dance with her husband, she's like, but I don't really care who I am or who I was before that. I've kissed her goodnight. And I was like, oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Goodbye.
That's the title of the movie. Thank you. Goodbye. We're done.
Yes, done. And then it cuts to a different crowd altogether. And these two people are having sex. And all these cops storm in. And they're arresting the guy. And I got real confused as to what was happening. And he was really
same
about the woman as well. He was like, I can see you're on a low budget here. And I was like, whoa, that's very fucking harsh. It's
like, there's a lot of degrading female comments in this movie.
Yeah, big time. I'm not, I wasn't keen. And yeah, it's like, you know how you're like, oh, but it was the 90s, but that's not really good enough either sometimes.
Some of the comments were quite bad, and I was like, ooh.
Yeah. So then my next note was, oh, it's a plan. Nice. So the woman who was pretending to be a prostitute, this is like, and the cop guy, this is like a little scam that they run, where she pretends to be a prostitute, and then before she has to do anything, he arrests the guy, lets him go, but they still get the money. Handy, good little scam. But they're also private investigators on the side.
Yeah, while also being scammers, they also run a legitimate private eye business.
Which and makes no sense. Because there's a file with Mitch's name on it. Mitch is Samuel L. Jackson. And she's like, oh yeah, no, that's for you. I've got some news on the Samantha Kane woman. Basically, someone found a credit card. So they have like an old apartment and they have a postcard and they've got a shit ton of stuff on her now, which is unreal. So he's like, whoop, whoop, amazing. And then, yeah, sorry, I should have said when Samantha was doing her voiceover, that was one of the things she said, is that she initially hired private eyes to try and find out who she was. And now she uses like cheap companies, but she's not overly fussed if they don't find anything anymore. This is why there's a private investigator looking at her. Then she goes, she collects this random man. I don't know who he is, or if she's driving him home from that party, but he's drunk and he distracts her.
Yeah, I was also confused about that. The first 20 minutes to half an hour, I was doing the dishes while watching it at the same time, so I wasn't paying 100% attention to it.
Yeah.
But I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, this is still the setup for the movie and it's wildly too complicated.
Yeah, exactly. It is. It's massively complicated. And so she gets into this, he's drunk in the car and he distracts her. And they crash, like, quite badly. She's thrown from the car, and because she hits a deer. So she gets up and she starts to have like flashes, and I'm like, oh, so this crash is gonna eliminate the other amnesiac moment, you know, how they do the hit on the head and then you hit your head again, and they're like, and then all the memories come back. I'm not how it works, but sure. But that's not actually what happens. She just gets kind of flashes, and then she kills the deer.
Well, the deer was already dying.
Which, but it's like she does it in a manic way.
She breaks its neck.
But not in a like, oh God, I really don't want to do this and I'm really sorry, buddy. This is better for you in the long run. It's like she has an out-of-body moment where she becomes a murderer.
Mm.
To hint at her, like, evil past.
Yeah.
Like, it's just weird.
It's too much.
It's a humane thing. But done in an inhumane way, almost.
I felt like it was too much to let us onto when she wasn't going to immediately come out of this being like, oh my God, I'm a spy.
I remember everything. Like, yeah. Because that was confusing. I thought she knew who she was and she was keeping it a secret, and it was just very weird. Anyway, then there's a guy in prison who's like chilling out and he's watching this
very
parade
scary.
This not very this scary. This like run of the mill town parade as well, not even like a big parade, just happens
not
to
like
have TV
we're not
coverage.
Talking about like the Macy's parade or anything.
No, we're talking about like Blarney, like really
the American equivalent of Blarney.
like small town, and that for some reason is TV coverage, and this guy sees Samantha being Mrs. Claus and he goes ballistic.
Ballistic.
And I'm like, who the fuck are you? The next thing I have written down is, why is she on a mountain? Because she's like having this dream where she's on a mountain and she's starting to remember things and she's looking at herself and herself is like, oh, I'd really like a cigarette. And she's like, I don't smoke. And she's like, yes, you do. You used to. See how easily it all comes back to you? Name's Charlie, by the way. See you soon. Weird. I just don't think it's a very good movie. The CGI is so bad.
I think the way everything is dealt with is just really
it
bad.
Looks
which
like
again
twitches
makes,
when they do the like portals and stuff, but I'm like, why?
It like makes complete sense to me that it's like a cult classic.
Yeah, I can
and
see
that.
And
that's the
too.
Only
I
reason
too
it's
late
got
to
such
the game
good
here.
Reviews. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, why is she on a mountain? I don't get it. And then Samuel L. Jackson's character Mitch is like seeing his kid and tries to give the kid a toy, and the kid is like, I can't accept this, mom will think you robbed it. And I'm like, well, just show her a receipt then. There's an easy way around that. But he's like, yeah, okay. And he like leaves. Then his partner with the curly hair rings him. This is the last time we ever see her, by the way. Don't know happens to her from now on. We needed her for 5 seconds, but now she's dead, I guess.
She needed to be the slut who slept with people for money. Yeah, and then No.
I don't get it. Anyway, she's found a lead on Kane. There was an old, in the box of stuff, she found an old fiancé. And she's like, great. So they have that conversation briefly. Back home, Samantha's chopping a carrot horrifically bad. And her husband's like, let me do that. And she's like, no, I'll work it out. I'm like, have you not chopped a carrot in the 8 years since you've had amnesia? This makes
sense.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, you have amnesia, but surely you now have relearned how to chop vegetables.
Yeah, I'm surprised that this hasn't come up within 8 years. Because then she starts chopping it, and her fingers magically know what to do. And she's like, oh my God, look at me go. I was a chef. And she, like, they just start throwing fruit in her direction for her to, like, chop up.
Very, really dramatically.
Really dramatic. And, like, as if this is the best news ever. And then she throws this, like, tomato in the air and, like, stabs the knife through it so that it, like, pins it to a cupboard. And she's like, chefs do that. And her husband looks so uncomfortable, as does his daughter, and yet they don't bring that up again.
No.
Like, but also, he's not like, babe, what was that about? That was a bit out of character for you. Bit concerned. You know, also, I don't really think you should throw knives when there is a child in the house.
It's not like we've been... It's not like her opening monologue was, and I've been trying for 8 years to find out who I am. Like, I've gone snowboarding, I've gone skiing, I've gone deep sea diving, I've worked in a restaurant, I've worked in this. She doesn't do that.
No.
So, like, she obviously hasn't been searching for what she used to be.
You know, she rang some other people to try and tell her, but didn't do
so
anything.
So it doesn't make any sense.
It's really weird. And then I've written down, so some guy was supposed to kill her and didn't. This happens with some, like, there's a phone call between some random men. All these men look the same. I don't want to be, like, superficial or anything.
They're all white, skinny
but
men.
They're all just dark-haired, exactly what Kate said, white men with evil expressions, so that we know they're the bad guy, but I don't know how they're connected or anything. And, yeah, basically, this one particular guy was supposed to kill her but didn't do the job. So fair. And that's a problem now because she's resurfacing. And that dude in prison broke out now and is going to kill her. And may kill that dude for not killing her properly.
Yeah.
I pulled a face there and you can't see it, but it was
That's pretty much...
It's the emoji with the hands out and the, like, huh, expression. That was me. Mostly.
That's pretty much what I got from it. Yeah.
So then she goes ice skating with her kid. Cute moment.
And bullies the fuck out of her.
Yeah, the kid falls and hurts their wrist. Hurts their wrist. Later they're in a cast. Like, you didn't break it. You fell.
No, she fell on it. It was very dramatic.
And like, oh, ow. Why is she in a cast? At no point do they take her to hospital. It's so stupid. But anyway, she's like, oh no, I don't want to skate anymore. And you're like, Samantha just like lifts her up and is like, you fucking get on with your life. Life is pain. Deal with it. You're shit. Go on. You're going to skate. And so the child does or whatever. And it cuts to like at home. And the mom's like hiding away. And the husband tries to have a chat with her. And she says that she can't remember being mean to her daughter.
Yeah, she's like, I think I was mean, but I can't remember what I said. And I'm like, why don't you just ask the child?
Yeah, but then she's like afraid because the husband like goes. But also, there's a very weird part of the script where he like reaches for her and she like flinches. And he's like, for God's sake, I'm not going to hurt you. And she's like, it's not me I'm worried about. And I'm like, why did you have to specify that? That always freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah.
Why, like, if you've never hurt her, why do you have to specify? Why would you think that she would think that?
Yeah.
Weird bit of script there. And yeah, so they're having that conversation. Next thing, she opens the door. There's this guy with a gun. Now, when I tell you that this prick came out of nowhere, just waltzed up to the house and starts firing.
No, you're missing the important bit of he was holding the choir singers hostage for her to get to the door.
Oh, well, yeah.
He didn't just come out of nowhere. He did have a plan.
Yeah, but he escaped from prison and arrived at this house, but we'd seen none of that.
Oh, yeah, no, we just have to assume that he
was
able to escape from prison all of a sudden.
And get all the way to her house in he didn't know her address. He just saw, all he saw was her on telly, but has somehow located her house. He's now at her house, shooting left, right and centre. She lobs her child out a window in the hopes that that will help. Which, to be fair, I understand in a pressurised situation.
Yeah, that's the safest thing.
But it was just so kind of so ridiculous. It was funny as opposed to oh my god, I'm worried about this situation. Because this whole thing is ridiculous. And they're fighting and there's food flying everywhere. And I don't know how he hasn't managed to kill her. He runs out of bullets. Her husband is literally nearly dead on the floor because he tried to attack and he was useless. And then she somehow remembers all these ninja moves she's got in her back pocket and whacks the living daylights out of him. And then looks up and goes, chefs do that. And I'm no, they don't.
She kills him with his bare hand, with her bare hands. She full on breaks his neck and slams his head on the floor.
Yeah, and then goes, chefs do that. No, they don't.
But that was such a terrible line. Was that supposed to be funny?
Also, I forgot to say that when he comes in, he's I want my eye back, bitch. So she took this man's eye somehow. We find out later how, but weird.
I didn't understand that at the time.
Yeah, no, because I hadn't had a good enough look at him to even realise.
No, I didn't understand that he was missing an eye.
It's although I don't think she still has it, I mean.
Yeah.
You're not going to get it back. Vengeance, maybe, but not. But yeah, really stupid. And then, so then she basically, it cuts to the next day and Mitch is there. And Mitch arrives that night and has put the child in the car. She lobbed him out the window, Mitch somehow
I have your kid, she's in the car, she's safe, don't worry.
And then there's a moment where all the police start looking at him and they're don't shoot. And I'm okay. And he's it just cuts to the next day. There's no questioning.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of just randomly cutting to the next day or cutting to the next scene.
Where I'm there would be a police investigation. You wouldn't be able to leave. You would probably be in jail for a while already. You murdered this man. I understand it was self-defense, but there's still going to have to be. You don't just get to walk out and continue to live your life, I feel. You know? So it just cuts. And Mitch is taking her away. Mitch, we do not see Mitch explaining he has a lead at any point to her previously.
No, he's just literally that night the guy comes in, tries to kill them, and then literally the next morning she's I'm gonna go with this guy.
Yeah,
and that's it.
I gotta find out who I am so that you guys can be safe. No further explanation. I don't understand why the husband is not absolutely terrified of her. She murdered someone in front of him. In a outer body experience, I'd be babe, you cannot be around the kids. Kid. This is you need to sort yourself out.
Well, he does fully explain before she leaves, and he's no matter what happens here, I'm not afraid of you and I'll still love you. We'll figure it out. And I'm oh wow, it's commitment to your relationship.
It's commitment and it's mental. She murdered someone in front of you and you're I'm not afraid of you. I'm terrified.
But I don't know, it was clearly a bad guy. So I'm kind of
I know, but she looked deranged doing that. She did not look she didn't look like a woman terrified for her family. She looked like a woman getting off on this.
Let's be real.
So there's that. And then she tells the kid to light a candle for her. And that's how she'll find her way home. And she also writes her number on her cast. This is why she needed a cast, because it comes up later. And yeah. she's like, you it's can important call me to the anytime. Blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I'm going to go. Then the next scene is these like men who are chatting about her. And she was like an operative spy. And that, I've just put down question mark because I didn't really get it. But yeah, she used to work for the government, essentially, is what we learned.
It took me ages to realise that she used to work for the government.
Yeah, but it's so stupid. It's so stupid. How did the government not find... She's been walking around for 8 years. She's not exactly been in hiding. She got herself a PPS number and a fucking... Like, come on. She's a teacher in a school. Like, you could find her. Ridiculous. Then it cuts back to her in the car with Mitch. Mitch sees a woman jogging and like nearly crashes the car, essentially, to get a look at her. And I'm like, girl, you were literally in a car crash. Why are you not more mad at him? You should be very triggered by that he just nearly drove you off the road.
She just doesn't care. She's like, why are you looking at women?
Yeah, she's sassy and she calls him out on it. I guess we can give the script somewhat of a point there. But yeah. Then she's like looking through all this old crap that they found in that apartment, and they find a book that had this Mr. Wallman guy signed it. So they're like, look him up, find his number, ring him. And she just does. And he seems like a prick. There's a scene where he's at home and he's like berating his wife for no fucking reason. And it's so unnecessary. Like, we could have just seen him answering the phone. We didn't need the scene with his wife.
Of all the scenes that we didn't get, we didn't need that one.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Pointless bit of the script. And yeah, Mr. Waldman's like, oh, everyone thinks you're dead. And she's like, what's my name? So it's Charlie Elizabeth Baltimore. And he's like, oh, I'm not saying anything else. We should meet. Come to the train station. So that's a plan. But someone's listening in. Someone's bugged the phone. Because it just does this weird cut where someone's like, got him. And then it cuts away again and you don't see them long enough to...
I was like, God, who?
I genuinely was like, I've given up at this point. Oh, yeah. So then they get to the train station. And just out of nowhere, just a shit ton of guns, men. Like, I don't know how they're not dead. Because
it's an action film.
Oh. Nothing irks me more than how they have managed to kill literally every single person in this train station except the fucking person they were shooting at.
How are you that
bad? I feel like I would have had a better job. Come on. So yeah, I was like, this is bullshit. And then she nearly shoots him. Like, it's... And then he, like... She suddenly... They're, like, upstairs somewhere? And she blows out the window. No, not that part.
Yeah, am I there?
She like blows out the window and they like jump out.
No, so they go into this building and they're supposed to be meeting this guy and they're waiting at the bar and some guy comes up that we've not seen before and starts chatting to her and he's like, oh, you really don't know who I am. I know when people are lying to me. And she was like, no, I don't want a drink. Thanks.
Yeah.
And then... He talks into his earpiece and he's like, I've got what I need. Everyone go. And then this other guy who we've never seen before starts to walk up and she goes, oh, I think that's the guy we were talking to. And then he tries to kill her. Yes. And then he's unsuccessful because she sees the gun before he shoots. Mm-hmm. And then she shoots him with Samuel Jackson's gun. And then it's all just a big brawl. They end up chasing him upstairs. There's a grenade. The grenade gets launched, then they're like, fuck it, there's no way out. So she ends up shooting the window so they can jump through the window safely. And then they end up landing in the icy... Well, it's easier to bash through a window that's been shot than it is to just bash through a window yourself.
But safely.
And then they land in the icy lake.
Which she's shooting on the way down from falling so that it breaks. And they don't just, like, crack their necks.
There you go.
Yeah, so then they go back to their hotel or their motel or something. He's like smoking and singing and pissing her off, so she shuts the door and then she looks at her suitcase and she just chucks everything out of it and starts pressing the like bottom, which is a false bottom, and then there's like a just this gun, And she just builds it. She just remembers how to. It's just like muscle memory. And she's looking at herself in the window. In the mirror.
Fucking shocked. And I'm so like, did shocked. You never pick up this empty suitcase and be like, Jesus Christ, this is a so fucking heavy. Ton. Why is this empty suitcase
well,
so
I
heavy?
Think because it's the one that he collected from the apartment. So I don't think she's had it before. I don't think this was knocking around her house.
Oh, I thought it's one she brought with her.
No, I think this was one from that apartment where he brought all her old stuff for her to like go through.
Okay, I'll allow
which
it
makes
then.
More
I'll allow
sense.
It.
Yeah.
I thought it was just a suitcase that she donned for... Yeah.
No, sure, she woke up on a beach. Where would she...
Oh, yeah, of course.
But it was that... But even... Your point is still valid. She showed... Oh, that's a tongue twister. She's so shocked that she would own a gun, despite the fact that how many people have tried to kill her at this point? Surely you're into something.
Yeah.
You must know that at one point you probably did something shitty. You know, put the pieces to... If suddenly everyone started shooting at me, I'd be like, what the fuck did I do?
Yeah, I must have done something. And then when I opened the suitcase and saw the guns, I'd probably been like, oh.
Interesting.
I'm obviously skilled in something.
But that's no, she builds the gun and then she nearly shoots Mitch. She kind of screams because she has like a flashback with her mirror self, and her mirror self like slashes her throat and she screams. And Mitch is like, whoa, you okay? And she legit nearly shoots him. And then he's like, right, I'm taking you home. And I'm like, why are you getting in a car with her? Just send her home, put her in a taxi. He's like, no, I am not going back to jail. I am not being with you, you psycho. But I am going to drive you back home. And then when he's driving her back home, he opens up about his past. And then he's like, right, I'll take you to the train station. And we can meet Mr. Waldman, or whatever his name is. I don't remember. Waldo, Waldman, whatever. So they go to the station. And she doesn't recognize the evil guy. That's... That makes no sense. Oh, sorry. I messed that up. This is when all those shots happen. I knew it. I knew I had said it wrong. So, sorry. When she rings Mr. Waldman, then they go to the hotel. Then they do... She nearly shoots him, but then she drives him to the station, and it's at the station where she doesn't recognize that evil man, and they go upstairs and jump out the window. Because then when they get out of the water, Waldman just arrives. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I said that too early.
Oh, those two scenes are swapped.
Swapped, yeah. So just swap those in your mind mentally.
To be honest, it doesn't really make a difference because the movie's so fucking back-arsed anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't. So Waldman basically saves the day, and she's like, he tells her that she's an assassin and that Samantha Kane, which is very close to my own name actually, but Samantha Kane is her cover, and she essentially woke up and remembered her cover story as opposed to herself. And then they attack Waldman because they're like, you're lying and you're a psycho, and how did those guys find us? So they just attack him and leave him at the side of the road and like steal his car.
Of like how far they've come for them to not trust this guy. I'm like, why yes, all sir. Of a sudden do we not trust this guy?
Just bonkers. And then she's like, oh, I'm gonna, what about that postcard where I said I was engaged to this guy? Let's go see my fiance. And he's like, sure. So they take him there, and then Mitch is all like, I'm not leaving you alone with him. And she's like, no, trust me, I remember things about him. We must have gone out. And so he does. So then he's keeping an eye on her, and they're like walking around feeding like horses hay and shit. Waldman arrives and is basically like, why are we here? Who is this guy? What's going on? And he's like, he's her ex-fiance. And Waldman's like, she never had a fiance. Dun, dun, dun. And it turns out that this was like all code for like he was her fucking target that she was meant to murder. And that's why she remembers so much about him, because she would have studied
like,
him.
Engaged, because it was the note said something about being engaged.
Yeah.
And when they meant engaged, they didn't mean maritally engaged. It meant like engaged in battle. Like, I'm ready to go. I'm locked in.
Ridiculous.
I was like, what a shitty explanation.
So stupid. So then they run out to try and like warn her, but then there's cars everywhere and a fucking helicopter, and all of these people are kidnapped. And then like she like wakes up tied to this like wheel. I don't know what they're
mill.
Called.
It's a mill. Mill.
I'm like, I know the facility, I just don't know the name.
Like the water bit of a mill that makes a mill work.
She's like in her underwear, like tied up to this thing.
It's in a negligee, that's the word I'm looking for, yeah.
She like the two lads are there, talking shit about her, and is like, what do you remember about me now? And she's like, still nothing. And he's like, okay. And he dips her into the water. Wallman's there, drowned. He's fucked. He's just dead. She's like, oh no, sad times.
It took me ages to realise that too. I was like, who is this guy?
Oh, it's Wallman. But that isn't made clear.
No, I Wallman. Just thought it was another guy.
It's Wallman because of how she takes the revolver in a few minutes, because that Wallman tells us that's where he keeps one, so she knew where to go. That's the reason why. And essentially they just keep dipping her in and out of the water and threatening her in between, and then eventually she remembers everything in this water. She remembers taking your man's eye and how she did it. Your man was about to like stab her with a needle, which I believe was probably filled with some sort of poison, but she stabbed it into his eye instead, and then she fell off the cliff, and that's how she was washed onto a beach where she just woke up not knowing her memory because she was shot or something. Didn't he shoot
she
at her?
She fell off the cliff or something. He shot her. And then she fell.
Yeah, so that, and then she woke up and she was grabbed. So she remembers that, and so then she gets all fucking sassy and she's like, oh, don't doubt me yet. And so the next time he dips her into water, she like frees one wrist, then puts her hand down Wallman's pants because he said that he keeps a revolver there because no man will feel up another man's groin, so it's a good hiding spot. Ridiculous. That's the first place he would go, surely.
Yeah.
Like, that's it, surely. Because throughout
the entire movie, then, that's where every man puts his gun. And they make it very obvious that that's where they put it.
Yeah, so surely, and I'm like, that as a man, you'll go, well, I know all the hiding spots. No? So, anyway, she takes that revolver. So, when he, like, wheels her back up, she shoots him. And he's just dead. And then she shoots everyone else. Poor Mitch is tied up. He's been, like, beaten to shit. And she, like, somehow comes down and finds him. And they walk away. She just escapes. Then there's a montage escaped, of her, like, showering. And, like, bleaching her hair. And putting on eye makeup.
And literally, with no further explanation, as to all of her memory is back.
All of her memory is back now. They are in this real fancy hotel. Don't know how they're paying for that or how they got there or anything like that. It just costs.
No.
Man, we're in the hotel. Mitch is there. No, he's chilling. And she walks out and he's like, oh shit. And she's like, I'm Charlie now. I'm like, okay. And she's like, I gotta contact my
people.
Old job. But the old place is now the bad place.
Dun, dun, dun.
They're the people trying to kill her, because evil dude is there. Like, she rings her boss, and her boss is like, "Oh my god, I'm so happy to hear from you again. We'll collect you. We'll put you back." And she's like, "No, no, we're doing it my way." And then he turns to evil dude and is like, "Did you get all that? Ridiculous." Then she tries to just fuck Mitch. She just takes a notion where she's like, I haven't had a date in 8 years. And I'm like, you are married still, just FYI.
She's not married to anyone.
Surely she's married to the fella.
No, it's just her boyfriend.
Well, regardless, she's in a relationship. At least remind that fella. or break up with him, or, you know, think about your children, and, well, not your child, which is essentially what Mitch tells her to do. He's like, call your kid, it's 2 days till Christmas.
Yeah, because he wakes up and he finds out that she's ripped up all of the pictures of her family that she brought with her.
Yeah.
And he's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like,
yeah, but then she's like, I didn't want a kid, Samantha had the kid, that's not my fault. I'm like, to be fair, you woke up pregnant. So Charlie got pregnant.
So just, technically, just, Charlie got pregnant.
Just because Samantha had the kid doesn't mean Charlie wasn't the one to get pregnant. So yeah. I don't think we can entirely blame Samantha here.
That line in itself, I was like, that's so stupid, though, because you didn't get pregnant to Samantha.
Exactly, yeah. If it it's was not like the you kid woke was up. Four, and as a school teacher with that boyfriend of hers, you'd be like, okay. But no.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Then... so she throws Mitch out. She just gets mad. And then she's walking down. She's like, I'm leaving. She starts walking down the street.
Making my way downtown, walking fast.
Then she kills some more people. And I'm just
confused. This guy comes up and is like, hey, pretty lady, you want some company? And she's like, no, I'm all okay. And then she ends up beating him up. And Mitch comes out. That's actually not what
she says. She says she's waiting till she gets raped, which is horrific.
Oh yeah, I thought that was a pretty funny line, to be honest. I thought that one was quite good. I was
just so uncomfortable. I was like, let's not, because you don't know this guy. I was like, I know you're confident that you can take down everyone, but let's not put that out there.
And then he's like, I'm coming to save you. And she's like, you dumbass, you've scared the rest of them away. And he's like, the rest of who? And she's like, the hitmen, obviously, they don't travel together. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Who? What?
Yeah, because she did say, because Mitch made a call earlier, and she's like, after she made her call. And she had said, like, oh, at midnight, if they come, we'll know that they're trying to kill me.
Oh yeah, because she didn't trust when she called back her old boss, who I assume works for the CIA, that she was like, I don't trust him, so we need to do a test.
Yeah, but they came early, and she's like, oh, you've ruined everything. Ridiculous. Yeah. So then she's driving with Mitch, and she gets mad at him, so she throws him out of the car, because he's like, you know, you keep saying I feel like you don't need me anymore, and she's like, good point, and literally flings him from the car. And he just lies there, smokes a cigarette, and then she picks him back up, and he's like, thought of a job for me, and she's like, uh-huh, because then she's now remembered, so she's gonna like leave the country, essentially. She's not going back.
It's a smart plan.
And she's like, I need money and IDs, and he's like, great, no hassle, let me just pull that from my back pocket. She's like, no, I've already got them. Dope. The key that I keep on my bracelet, it's to this box which has a briefcase in it, we just gotta go there. But she gave the bracelet to her kid before she left, so she's gotta go home is the problem. So that's where they're going, essentially. And she like goes home. Mitch is like supposed to sit in the car as backup. She walks in just with a gun. I'm like, you live there.
Yeah, I'm like, this is your family. I was like, all you would have had to do is walk in, get the bear off the kid, and be like, mommy has to take this. Yeah. I'll be back soon.
I'm still figuring things out.
Yeah, I can't tell you what's going on, but mommy needs this. I'm really sorry. Or even just takes the key. She doesn't need the whole fucking bracelet.
Yeah.
And then is like, I'm not quite done what I need to do. I'll see you guys in a few weeks.
Now, her family's not at home. They're out. They're doing, like, Christmas caroling.
Which would have made this even easier.
Yeah, so all she had to do was walk in. She could have had a nice little small gun with her. Like a little, like, backup. Oh, yeah,
she
one.
Literally takes the biggest fucking gun I've ever seen.
It's so silly. But then she, like, looks out the window and uses the gun to, like, you know when you, like, use it as target. She uses it to, like, watch her daughter sing.
Oh, yeah, she uses the, like, telescopic bit of the
And gun. Gets, like, all nostalgic and starts to, like, miss her kid. But then Mitch nearly gets murdered, so she has to go and, like, fight them off. And she does. She always does. But the evil man kidnaps her child. So, okay.
Yep, you're pretty much getting there.
Like, right? Bizarre. Like, so many fucking plot twists. And it's good that he kidnapped her then after she saw her, because she cared about her then. 2 minutes ago she was like, I didn't ask for a kid, so that would have been really shit if he rang her and was like, I've got your kid. She's like, not mine, Samantha's.
I was fully expecting her to run and be like, kill the kid, I don't care.
Yeah, I kind of was too. I was like, thank God she like got a bit of nostalgia, because otherwise this movie is over. Yeah. And so she like works out that the guy is in Niagara Falls, because he calls her Cell, because remember she wrote that on the kid's cast and is like, I've got your child, and she's like, oh shit. And he tells her to go to a Holiday Inn, but instead they go to like a phone company and like bully the phone trace company the call. Into tracing the call, but also like putting it from a patch so that it sounds like it's a Holiday Inn. And then your man is like in Niagara Falls, so she's like, okay, we're gonna go there. And there's a candle in the window of the place where he is, so she knows which room her daughter is in. So she goes in and she gets her daughter. But this is all because of budget cuts. Like, this is what we learn when she like chats to the bad guys about what's going on. Basically, it gets political, but her old boss has started to team up with the bad guys, and they're going to pull off a political like terror attack,
like a fake terrorist attack, basically. Because
they're gonna blame the Muslims, they say, by setting off this chemical bomb that's gonna kill 4,000 people, and they're gonna blame the Muslims on it, so that then the government will be like, shit, gotta protect our country, and refund the CIA with all this money. And I'm like, what a weird fucking plot point to introduce 20 minutes left with the film.
Yeah, because basically the last time there was like a bomb scare in the World Trade Center, they got loads of money, because obviously it was like defense for the country.
Yeah.
And now, because there's not enough crime or whatever, the president is giving, and because the CIA aren't doing a very good job, the president is like, I'm going to give my budget to healthcare.
Yeah.
And so the CIA are like, okay, well, we're gonna kill 4,000 people, pretend it was terrorists, so that we can go back to you and be like,
poor guy, like in the freezer, ready to blame him.
Yeah,
for this whole thing.
Then we can be like, see, we do need money because there's threats, basically.
Essentially, yeah.
And I'm still not 100% sure though why she needs to be killed for this to work. I assume it's because they thought she was disposed of years ago.
Yeah, I think, and now just her coming up loose ends.
Because she's come back in an age where people who used to be targets now work for her boss.
Yeah.
That it's too complicated and it's just easier to kill her.
You're telling me it's too complicated. Jesus. And yeah, so she like she gets the kid, but then that doesn't work. And then they like she falls down into this like pit where there's loads of gasoline, and he's like, I can drop a match down or you can come out. And because she's got the kid, she decides to come out. But she looks at the doll and she looks at the gasoline, so we know what she's going to do. Then they drag her up, and then they're like, right, Mitch is like, you fully believe he's dead at this point. Because we haven't seen him in ages.
He has blood everywhere.
Everywhere. Like, it's ridiculous. Then suddenly they're taking this poor guy out of a freezer, because they're going to blame the bomb on him. And Charlie, who used to be Samantha, is now like tied up, and she's like in the freezer, and she's chatting to Evil Dude and is like, so tell me what the plan is. This is when he announces the whole political thing about budget cuts. And she's like, okay, but like go on, at least leave the kid live. And he's like, no, look, I'm already being a saint, like letting her spend the last few, you know, minutes of her life with you. And she's like, well, look at her eyes. She's yours. I mean,
dun, dun, dun.
And then he's like, whatever, don't care. Fair. I mean, sure. So Kate gets thrown in the freezer with her.
If you were an absent father for this long and also clearly an evil villain, I don't think he's going to care. Then.
Yeah, I was like, if he takes the kid out, because he's like, let me look at your eyes. And then he sees that, like, he fully believes then that she is his. And I was like, if you take her out of the freezer, I'm like, come on. I just don't believe it as a character.
Yeah.
Here. But he doesn't. In fairness, he doesn't. And, sticking to his guns on being evil killer man. So then they're in the freezer. She starts like digging this little like, not a hole, but like a divot in the floor so that she can like spill gasoline out, because she's filled the kid's doll with gasoline so that she can blow up the door essentially. And then she's trying to spark it, and she can't get a spark going, and she starts to cry because herself and her kid are going to die.
This entire time, I was like, you gave the kid matches.
Yeah. And the kid is like, don't cry, mommy. Here are some matches. And I'm like, bitch, you knew she was trying to spark something for the last 5 minutes. Why did you not speak up sooner? I hate this kid.
Yeah.
So then the door blows up. The whole, like, oh, they're about to kill Mitch as well. But then this explosion also causes Mitch to be thrown miles away from them, which is convenient.
Hmm.
Nobody dies in this big explosion. Everyone's just, like, massively, like, pissed. And they're like, get her, like, kill her, blah, blah, and big, like, guns everywhere. And they're like, just, never mind, just get the truck out of here. We gotta do that bomb thing that we were doing. And they're like, okay. The child is a fucking idiot. She's like, run. Charlie tells her to run. And the child gets in the fucking truck. What a fucking dope.
Like, why she didn't run into the forest, I'll never understand.
I don't understand. And also, to be fair, for some clear instructions, because the woman, Charlie knew that the truck was the bomb. Why wasn't she like, run this direction, don't run anywhere. If you see a truck, run in the opposite direction.
Yeah,
it, you know, just, there was time to give a bit more details. She finds Mitch. Mitch is like, what's going on? And like, she's like, where's my kid? And he's like, I saw her get in a truck. And she's like, the truck is the bomb. And he's like, oh fuck. And like, I've just written down here at this point that this is just so unnecessary.
They need the big final kablooey scene, Sam. That's what they need.
And then so the truck drives off. So Charlie, like, now Mitch tries to get her, in fairness. Mitch tries to get her from the truck, and he's shot, and you fully believe he's dead at this point. Then somehow the truck is like towards a bridge, but Charlie manages to get into the truck, kick the guy out of the truck who was driving it. So she drives it away from the village where all the people were, drives it onto this bridge. I'm like, just park it, take your child and run. Why are you still driving? Because at one point then the brakes go, and she's like, ah, fuck everyone, my life is so difficult. And I'm like, what? Just get out. Get your child. Why did you not stop the truck? You were already miles away from everyone else. Like, the worst it was going to do was set fire to a forest at this point. And that's not great, don't get me wrong. But in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, which, like, I was like, what is going on? I think this was the unnecessary part I was talking about. Eventually, she, like, crashes the truck, takes the child from the truck. But the guy who was driving it, like, radios the boss and is like, ah, oh, she took my truck. Also, I think I'm dying. An evil dude is like, continue to die, and like goes after the truck, starts shooting at her. And like, I'm like, this truck should be well blown up by now, to be honest with you. Like, we've
no, in all fairness, it gives like a 7 minute timer the first time we see it, and I'm like, 7 minutes,
it's a lot. Jesus Christ. But also, I'm like, the amount of times it's been shot at, surely it's just gonna spark something.
Maybe.
And also, there's a guy on fire hanging above it now, and it's just like, she shot like a helicopter, and he got tangled in the wires, and it's just all ridiculous. And then, so she gets the child out of the truck. She has been like massively beaten up now as well, the mother. So she's like, run, and the child runs, and the mother falls down, and the child fucking turns around and runs back to her. And I'm like, that's the exact opposite of what you were told to do. Children are the worst. And is like, mom, no, like, not to sound like fucking Simba in The Lion King, but she's like, get up, come on, like, it'll be fine, I believe you.
And then she starts being mean to her, like when they were ice skating. And I'm like, this is a totally different scenario. You fell down and started cribbing. She's literally been shot. Like, hang on a second.
The kid is literally like, she's like, life's pain. Life is pain. Life's
so
hard.
Stupid.
Get up.
Somehow it makes your one stand up. And then she grabs the like truck radio and starts to be like, can anyone help me? I've got a child. I've got an 8-year-old child. Like, blah, de blah. And everyone's like, negative, because they are all the bad guys. But Mitch somehow is not alive and has a car and like drives over to them. I don't know how that happened. And
it's the car that they were, it's the car that they were going to plant in the river to be like, that's the bomber person, the frozen guy.
Yeah. But basically, she shoots your man, because your man is like, I'm not letting her get away with this. And she, like, shoots the living daylights out of him. She, like, does all these stunts. It's, like, 20 minutes of shooty, shooty, action, action, run, run, run. But anyway, he dies. So we get over that. Every evil person is now dead. So that's grand. And I was like, what's the crack with the boyfriend? Because his child was kidnapped a few hours ago. And we've not seen him be worried or contact anyone. Or, you know, like, we have no idea if he's alive or dead. There's just bizarre things. But basically, they live. And the ending is shocking. It's like Samantha driving in this, like, car.
Convertible.
And the president rings her. And he's like, oh, I don't... like, thanks very much for all your service. I don't suppose I could, you know, convince you to come back. And she's like, no, no, I've got papers to grade. And he's like, yeah, no, fair enough. But she's like, you can do me one favour, though, which is basically to make Mitch, like, this really, like, highlighted good guy now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he gets him on Larry King. And she, like, goes and she's sitting with her, like, boyfriend and the kid's running around. I'm like, how is the kid not traumatised? You should all be in therapy. But, like, is running around playing with, like, goats. And she's sitting there in this white dress and she's got her long blonde hair and she's like, this happy suburban mom now. And I'm like, how? Because you were so badass 10 minutes ago and you're telling me you gave that all up. You couldn't like convert to like some really good like badass cop or something, like team up with your man and do it like legit business or become private investigators or like and like a real legitimate business model where like yourself and Mitch are like suddenly the most skilled private eye investigators in the city. But no, Mitch just like is on the radio and his kid watches it and like smiles on the TV, I should say, and she like chills with her like boyfriend. And I think she says something like, chefs do that again, because that's like her funny line. And it's so stupid. The ending is shit. It's so shit. That's how it ends. Like, that's it.
That's it.
That's it. Shit. What a letdown, right?
The whole movie was a letdown. Well, to be fair, I didn't know anything about it going in, but
I didn't know anything about it going in. And while I didn't think it was Christmassy enough, I was like, it's not a terrible movie. And then the ending really pissed me off.
I still think it had more Christmas than I thought it would.
Yeah.
People pitch it as like a Christmas action, like they do pitch it as like a Christmas movie.
No, fair. I mean, it's got more Christmas in it than some of the other films. I understand.
So how many crackers would you give it?
I'm gonna give it 2.
Yeah, I'd give it 2. One for the fact that it's a Christmas movie, and the other for the fact that it's got Samuel L. Jackson in it.
Fair. I mean, I liked the actors for the most part, and I did think, I was like the script is awful. The script is horrific, but like, it's not awful enough that I was like, this is shocking. I can't believe I've wasted 2 hours of my life on it. I was like, it's not awful 100% of the time. So,
yeah.
It's getting too. It's meh.
When I finished it,
I was like, eh. Which to me, that's 2 out of 5. Because 1 is like, I absolutely hated it. But I didn't. I was like, eh. You know?
Yeah.
It's that emoji, that one.
Was there anything on Instagram?
Andrea did reply and said it was, I'll just double check in case anyone else has since put anything in. Let me see. No, still just Andrea. And okay. Andrea said, it's one of my ultimate favorite, in brackets, Christmas movies of all time. Little hands up emoji, star emoji.
Wow. I really hope you're in that group of just living for the cult classics, Andrea.
To be fair, I think Andrea is very cult classic in movies.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's solid.
So yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I think we're going to round up.
Are you giving it to as well, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, sorry, I just didn't get an official confirmation.
Officially, I'm going to go with two.
Officially.
So yeah, next week might be Die Hard, I'm not 100% sure.
Potentially.
I'll see what we can find, basically. But other than that... Oh, sorry. I went the whole thing with playing with that and didn't drop it. And there we go. Anything else to say to the people?
Nope.
Great. Stay safe, wash your hands, and we'll see you next week. Bye, guys.
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.